Your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love the opportunity we have today to baptize people, and I'm not going to preach on baptism, but who knows what the Holy Spirit might do somewhere along the message. I just want to be open and receptive to speak what the Lord has for you and I today. You know, one thing about the Lord, he kind of doesn't always go and do the things that I want to do and doesn't always make the things easy, but he's always there. Amen? You know, I started with this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. And it said that we walk by faith, not by sight. And I want you to understand that God doesn't want us walking around with our eyes closed. We'll bump into some things. The Bible says without vision, people perish. You know, but he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And just like when you were pregnant with the baby, all right, there was a seed that was sowed, and it didn't manifest itself till it was time. And sometimes in life, we're standing in faith, and we're believing and waiting for something to be manifested. But God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But he says in chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Amen. So as we're looking at this, our text today, one of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart about is you will never hit anything that you don't aim at. You'll never hit a target that you don't aim at. And if we go through life haphazardly, we'll just end up in chaos. And God does things in order. So look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when we get to read verse 7, I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to speak to you out of verse number 9. He said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. I say willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. I want you to turn something, keep your finger there a minute, and turn with me to 1 Peter. I love the sound of that water moving. First Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Today, I want to speak to you. The title of this morning's message is Kingdom Targeting. And out of this text, I want to speak to you about to strive, to aspire, to please. We strive and aspire to please. Amen? Are you with me? Can we all lift the word together and make a declaration in the house today? Repeat after me. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. Lord, speak to me. My heart is open and my ears are receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do. And Father, my prayer this morning is that you get Carl out of the way. Father, I pray that you speak through me, Father God. May the words that come out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Look to the one next to you and say, you'll only hit what you aim at. Amen. We're gonna be looking at kingdom targeting. So first he says, therefore we labor. The labor is to strive or to press towards something or move towards something. So look with me in Luke chapter 13 and let's look and see what Jesus says. In Luke 13:24. The word of God says, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The strait gate. Wide is the road that leads to destruction and narrow is the way. The strait gate. Jesus, God's word says he will make the crooked path straight. The strait gate. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him. His word declares to you and I, for by grace we are saved by faith, that not of ourselves, not of works. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. He has paved the way. He is the only way. My good deeds, my actions aren't going to save me. It's only my trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. Amen? So he said, hey, I'm striving to enter into the straight gate. Well, what is he talking about, striving to enter the straight gate? It's not a labor. But what he is saying to Paul explains this a little more in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. When I invited Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior, now I'm going to strive. It speaks of agony. It's anguish. I'm wrestling things. You know, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In other words, Paul was saying it's just like wrestling. He's explaining this like a sports event. In other words, if you were a wrestler, I don't know any of the wrestlers anymore, but if you were a wrestler, amen, and you were wrestling someone, you had to exert some energy. Because if you didn't give it any energy, you would lose the battle, right? Amen? But God wants you to understand something, that he says in his word, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this battle and this anguish and this striving that we're doing, it's not against people. It's with the prince of darkness, okay? That this is a battle. Amen? You know, it was a battle for you just to be here today. It was a battle for some others that didn't make it today. And God wants you to know that since you were faithful, he's going to bless you for it. Amen? Amen? I tell you what, when the adversary comes out and he starts bringing out all of his tricks and his ploys and all these things start happening, all of a sudden, man, I say, oh, look out. God's getting ready to do something. God's getting ready to show up big. Amen? Amen? He said it. He didn't say it wasn't the battle. Amen? But he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. In other words, we can't fight this battle in our own strength. It's in his power and his strength. Amen. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. In other words, what he is saying to you and I, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. If I get loud, I'm not mad. For some reason, when I get excited, my voice elevates. I've tried to control it, and I can't. But amen. How many know that some are harder to hear than others? Hello? I remember when I was a father and I had young children, how the children tested me. When you ask the children to do something, they ignored you. You ask them again, they ignored you. And they got you to elevate your voice. Or is that just me? That didn't happen to anybody else in the room? It was just me? Okay. Yeah, I guess the Lord's speaking to me about that. Amen? God wants you to know that He has a purpose and a plan in your life. And these words that are coming forth to you and I today are words of life. The words of life. God wants to bring life to some dead areas in your life. There's places and things in your life that are dead. There seems to be no hope in them. And God wants you to know, once He puts His hand on it, He can raise the dead. So that thing that looks like it's dead, God can turn it around in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He just has to, so, hallelujah, amen. I serve a God that's great big, amen. I serve a big God. Amen. He ain't a little fella. Amen. He is the one that said, let it be, and everything came into existence. Hallelujah. Talk about power of word. Amen. So if God could speak the whole universe in acceptance, and He says that we're His children, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world, and we're Him in this world, then we can speak the things and we can change the atmosphere in which we're in. So many times we feed the adversity instead of the resolve. So many times we feed the problem with the words of our mouth. God says, declare and decree. Amen. Speak it according to His word. He said it and it was. Hallelujah. Come on. God's speaking to somebody here. Amen. In Colossians 1:29, the Apostle Paul says, he says, wherefore or whereunto I also labor or strive, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. In other words, here's what it. What you and I as children of God got to get a hold of is what He's already done. In other words, we keep on trying to do what He already finished. And all He is saying to you and I is if we enter into the finished work of Christ Jesus, He did it for us. Why should we stress over something that does not belong to us? Amen? Are we hearing? So first off, the apostle said, hey, man, hey, you know, sometimes you get in a sports contest, there's some agony going on. How many of you started watching college football yesterday? Anybody watching college football? How about the NFL that starts today? There's some anguish, okay? There's some striving. There's some exerting of energy. Amen? I mean, I saw a couple of people get hit yesterday where somebody exerted some energy. Amen? Lifted them off of their feet. Amen? And what the adversary, what God wants you to know about the adversary, if you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, He'll exert some energy, then you'll lift the adversary off his feet. Amen? That's what I say every time I take a shower. Go skin. Oh, just kidding. Go Skins, Redskin fans. Jesus loves Cowboys, huh? I like red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves them all. Oh, ball game! I'm an Eagle. I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. It's the only one I could find in the Bible. Mount up with wings as eagles. Running and not growing weary, walking and not fainting. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's a sign. John, what did the Lord say in that, to you this morning about that sign out there?
Speaking on the fullness of the joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And afterwards, he's got it on there where we don't have to wait until we join him in the heavens, but in the gathering of all of us, his presence is with all of us.
Amen. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Amen. In other words, we don't have to wait till we get there. We can have some heaven on earth. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You going through something? I could give you a list of things that I'm going through, that I'm facing. But the Lord keeps reminding me, the battle is not mine, it's his. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Stop trying to fight the battle on your own strength. You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough. Amen. Amen. He said, hey, we're striving, we're walking, we're working. Amen. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So what the things we're doing is for the kingdom of God and for the furtherance of his kingdom. Amen. How many know that God's kingdom is advancing? We have an opportunity to baptize, I think, 8 people this morning. The kingdom of God is advancing. Amen. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is advancing in you. And I want you to say something. You've got to stop watching the news and buying everything that you hear in the news. Whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I know all these things are going to come to pass, but he says, I've got you, my child. He said, I will protect you. I will keep you in the hollow of my hand. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm just as close as the call of my name. And he says, everything that you go through, you won't go through it alone. I'll always be there. Amen. I'll always be in there. And you know what? Amen. We keep believing all these lies of the enemy. Amen. I don't know if you know it, but news lies. Hello? They tell partial truths, not whole truths. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. Right here. Amen. So we're striving, amen. We're laboring. He says, therefore we labor, whether present or absent, amen. In other words, we got to have a little bit of Holy Ghost ambition, amen. Look with me and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul says this in verse 24. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. In other words, you got to have a little bit of ambition. Amen. Amen. If you're not excited about something, how do you expect someone else to be excited about it? Come and find my, come and meet Jesus. Oh, we gather together in misery. In his presence, that's where I belong.
That's true.
You know that? No, you don't.
No.
All right. Seeking his face, touching his grace. In the cleft of the rock? You know that song? Oh. Amen. So look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you unto, excuse me, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. In other words, and then he starts speaking about love. Here's what the Lord wants to say to us. As we're zealous for spiritual gifts, seek spiritual gifts that are blessings to others, not to you. Seek gifts that will not elevate you, but elevate someone else. He says, give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and rolling over. And as we operate in love, what does he say? Jesus said, the commandments are held in these two. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, putting someone else before you. Amen. That's what this is about. That's what ministry is about. No matter what you're going through, when one suffers, we suffer with them. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. Amen. Amen. And you know, some people are going through the valley, but God never called them to go through a valley alone. Not only will he be there, but he called brothers and sisters of like faith to stand with you, to walk with you. Amen. Amen. Love is the key. Love is the key. And if I'm striving and with Holy Ghost ambition, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, because this is important for us to get a hold of this one scripture today. The Lord going to speak to someone right now. In Philippians 3:13, the Word of God says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He didn't say, I forgot those things which are behind. He says, forgetting. That means I actively have to work on forgetting. Amen? That it's just not supernatural. It just doesn't. I didn't forget what happened, but I have to work on striving with Holy Ghost ambition to forget. Amen? It's an active word. I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, what the apostle is saying to you now, just like Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if you know, it's a straight gate. Remember, we're talking about the straight gate? If you ever furled a robe in your garden, if you don't have a vision of somewhere that you're walking towards, amen, you'll have a crooked row. When my wife and I planted our first garden, our garden was like a U shape all the way down. And we tried to convince people that we were growing more in a curve than we could in a straight line. But the truth was, we didn't know what we were doing. And Jesus says, remember, without vision, the people perish. Kingdom targeting. When I put my hand to the plow, I'm walking towards the goal. I'm walking towards the prize. I keep my eyes focused on the prize. Because if I start looking over here, you see what happens? That's why Jesus said, if any man hadn't put his hand to the plow and looking back, it's not fit for the kingdom of God, because you end up out there in left field somewhere. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. You know, he says, therefore I labor that whether present or absent, I might be accepted of the Lord. In other words, that I may be pleasing to the Lord. See, I want to hear these words, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear that word. You know that Proverbs 6:17, the word of God says, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When my ways please the Lord, even my enemies are at peace with me. Amen. You know what I did this week? I put this in the Facebook this week as a prayer for our nation. That if our ways would please the Lord, even our enemy is going to be at peace with us. As I'm praying over the United States of America. You know, Coca-Cola, for example. Coca-Cola is a great company, and they have a global marketing for Coca-Cola. But with the global marketing of Coca-Cola, it had to start locally. They didn't become global until they did local. Amen. And we're living in a place in an area which we have a marketing for the kingdom of God. Amen. That we're going to please the Lord. Are you with me? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4, the Word of God says, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleased of men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Amen. In other words, our goal is to please the Lord, to be accepted of Him. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to get ready to close. You know, when I say I'm getting ready to close, that gives everyone another breath. Hallelujah. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 13, 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Amen. Amen. So what are we doing? What are we talking about in closing today? In closing today. Amen. In closing today, what are we speaking about? What we're talking about is we need to strive, to labor, and that we're to have Holy Ghost ambition. And our ambition and our goal is to please the Lord. Amen? Anybody here with me besides me? Amen. You know, God's Word says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So in closing today, again, simply what the Lord is saying to us, hey, we walk by faith, not by sight. That God has a plan in our hearts and lives. Amen. And as we labor, as we strive, that we'll be able to accomplish this through Holy Ghost ambition, trusting Jesus to help us. That's okay. That's okay. It was one of those yawning messages. You know, my goal is to please the Lord. You know? And that's all we're to do. God wants us to know that, hey, when we gave our heart to Jesus, that was the beginning of something brand new. Amen? But He has far more greater things in store for you and I as we move forward in the kingdom of God. So let's bow our heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for Your Word. And we're grateful that You sent Your Word here to accomplish what You sent it to this house to do today. Father, in the closing moments of this service, Father God, Your Word declares that whosoever shall call upon You shall be saved. Maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe one time you knew Him but you drifted away and you want to give your heart back to Him or invite Him into your heart and life. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, I need Jesus." Is there anybody at all? Anybody at all? In the closing moments of service, anybody here? Hallelujah. I see that hand. Is there another one here? "Pastor, I'm not at that place I need to be, and I ventured off. I was like that plow where I got off out in the field somewhere, and I need to come back." I see that hand. Is there another one here today? Your Word declares that whosoever shall call upon You shall be saved. Can we all stand together in the congregation just for a few moments? I want to pray a prayer of rededication. And we're going to say it as a congregation today. And maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you needed to. You just pray this prayer with me. Say, "Father, forgiving my sins. I need your help. Come back into my life and take the wheel. You guide me and you direct me. I submit my life to you. Have your way in my life, I pray. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the penalty for my sins. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the body of believers here today, Father God. And Father, your word says that we're to strive. We're to have aspiration and Holy Ghost inspiration, Father God, and enthusiasm, Father God, for your kingdom. And that you called us, Father God, by name. Your word declares that we did not choose you, but you chose us and you ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit and that the fruit should remain, that whatsoever we ask you in our Father's name, you give it to us. So, Father, I thank you for this body. I pray blessings upon them in Jesus' name. I pray that you strengthen them in your power and your might. I'm going to ask those who are being baptized to go get your stuff.